it's so good to see everyone this morning. Your faces look bright, and even some of us are awake. It is so good to be with you. We're going to have some fun time here today. Before we go any further, let's go to our Father in prayer, and because we can't do anything without Him. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, it is such an amazing, amazing thing to come before the Creator of this universe, who spoke this world into existence and from nothing made everything. And Father, to think that You would be mindful of us, those who came from dirt, it is beyond our understanding. And yet, Father, we appreciate Your love towards us. We need Your love. We need Your grace. We need Your mercy. And Father, for that, we give glory, honor, and praise to You this morning. I pray all that we do, be in our singing, be in our fellowship, be in our prayer, as we present Your word, as we take communion to remember the most important event in all of history, as we partake together in a meal, the Father, all that we do, our conversations, bring glory to Your name. Father, we're so grateful for Your word that is a lamp unto our feet, that it guides us into Your domain. And Father, You want us to understand who You are. Father, we thank You for the Spirit that You sent, our advocate. Because Christ died and has returned to You, You sent us Your Spirit, and we're grateful for that this morning. We are thankful for the fellowship that we partake in all across the world. And we know some have already worshiped You this morning together as a congregation. And Father, some will be gathering later on today. But all of it, Father, I pray that it comes up to You as sweet incense, that it's an acceptable offering, and that, Father, You're pleased with, first of all, our hearts, and You're pleased with the way that we talk about You. And Father, I pray this morning that You will help me to present Your word in an unadulterated manner. And that, Father, that Your agenda and Your goal for our lives, it's what's presented this morning. Above everything else, though, Father, we're grateful that our names are written in the Book of Life. And for that, we give You great, we give You glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. It is a little bright this morning. And I figured instead of sitting under the shade, the grass was a little wet. Is it still wet over there?
Yes, it is.
I would imagine it's still wet. So, I mean, buckle up. I've only got an hour and a half sermon today. I'm not sure what was so funny about that, but apparently it was. Now, whose phone is this? We found it. It was returned to me. Anybody's phone?
Graduate's phone.
Someone take a picture of me.
I'm so embarrassed as a fellow Indian that you would lose. We didn't know this wasn't planned, but by the way, Steve graduated. He's we're very excited about that. I'm so happy for you. As a present, here's your phone.
Thank you.
We're so excited what God is doing in our family here. We've got a lot of people here that are from different places. We're just so encouraged to have all of you. We trust that our time together this morning will be of great encouragement to your soul. And more importantly, that God will be lifted up. And wherever you return, tell them that God is working powerfully here in Ottawa, provided you feel it's true, okay? We don't want you to say something that is not true. Speaking of that, we're very excited. And Wednesday night, we had a new brother and new sister baptized into Christ. We're going to have them all stand up. And so we're going to have Ron Brigg, why don't you stand on up? And we're going to have Yolande. Yolande, where's Yolande? Yolande, they were baptized into Christ on Wednesday night. We're very, very excited about that. We're thrilled. Earlier this month, we had side, of course, Michael and Chinwe that were added to the kingdom here in Ottawa. We're very, very excited about that. It's just so awesome to see what God is doing in our midst. Very excitingly, just as exciting, we had Fume, who's back with us. Where is Fume? Where? Yeah. It is so great to have you back. It's awesome. She was gone for a while. And if you guys know, Cammie was really out of control when she was gone. And now Cammie realized she can't be doing the things that she was doing for a while. Oh, so great to have them be part of our family. We're very, very excited about that. I know we've got some folks from Toronto here. Why don't you guys stand on up? Let's welcome you, the guys from Toronto. I don't know who is here. Welcome here. Welcome to your family in Ottawa. It's very, very exciting to have you. And we have some people even from Chicago that are visiting. Should the Chicago one please go ahead and stand on up? Mark and Monty and Landon. Mark, of course, is my brother-in-law, and we're excited to have you guys here. They came here specifically to help us move. I've never seen Mark laugh so hard in my life. He alone is going to do that. Just a little update on the family there. We're really, really excited. So today what's going to happen, we're going to be having a catered meal for everyone here. And so if you're visiting with us, amen, we're going to have a catered meal. And we have an incredibly generous member of the congregation who decided to do that. And we're very grateful for that person. And so we're going to, they did not want their names to be shared. But we're very, very grateful. So we're going to have Burrito Gringo that's going to be sponsoring and catering our food here today for everyone. And I believe, yes, amen. I believe what's going to happen is that the singles are going to help serve the meal. So they're going to be here in a little bit, and then it's going to be in that table, and we're going to have two tables of the same thing so that we can help ourselves to some food with them, guiding us really with that, okay? Any questions on that? That will concern me if you already have questions on the food and it's not even here yet. All right. Yeah, we will start eating at 11:30, and the food will be here at about 11 o'clock. A couple of rules, no pushing, fighting, or punching. Yes, some of that, yes, yes.
You're going to tease us for over half an hour.
Yes, exactly right. Just to help you guys to understand how we need to yearn for spiritual food, not only physical food. Amen. Let's go ahead and open up in our Bibles. If you've been visiting with us or if you've been following us online, you know that we had covered the seven I Am statements. We talked about how Jesus really made some incredible statements. And it separated him from being merely a teacher, but rather that he was God in the flesh. And the book of John highlighted the fact that Jesus was not merely a human being. As a matter of fact, it's why the book of John does not have the nativity scene, which brings about a human nature, if you would. And of course, he was fully human. But John wanted to emphasize, as he began the book of John, he said, not only was the Word was with God, but the Word was God. It talked about the fact that Jesus was not born of a husband's will. It's not like a guy said, hey, listen, let's have a child here today. And John emphasizes that fact throughout the book of John. And when he highlighted the seven I Am statements, of course, it was reminiscent of the fact that Moses, when he was appearing before the great Pharaoh, and he was scared, he was fearful, and he said, how can I, this weak human being, go and stand up before the most powerful man in the face of the earth? Who am I going to say sent me? And of course, God said, tell them the I Am. The same words that were described the I am in the book of Exodus are the same words with which Jesus spoke when he talked about the I am. And he said some I am things. He talked about I am the bread of life. Whoever feeds from me will never grow hungry again. What an incredible, incredible statement. Jesus talked about the fact that he is the light of the world. Whoever follows him will never walk in darkness. He talked about the fact that I am the gate. Through me, you enter through me into the sheepfold, and thereby you'll be saved. He talked about the fact that I am the good shepherd, and that he takes care of us, and that when we are following him, when we are his sheep, we will hear his voice. He talked about the fact that I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, will live, and that we will absolutely through him be able to live an eternal life because he is the resurrection. He talked about the fact that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that his journey back to the Father was through the cross, and our journey to the Father is through him, and that how Jesus is our substitute, and the fact that he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And of course, we talked about last week that Jesus says that I am the true vine. That's an amazing, amazing word picture. And I want to expand on that a little bit here today. And I want to bring it all together. And the book of John, of course, was written specifically to deepen our faith that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in him, by trusting in him, we can absolutely be with God ultimately. And prayerfully, that after our time together and that we've studied the Bible and we've really looked at who Jesus is, that our trust in him has really deepened. And the fact that we understand that Jesus is not merely just a good person, that he was God in the flesh. Now let nobody tell you that, hey, Jesus is just another way to God. That's not what the Bible says. You cannot be intellectually honest and read scriptures and come to that conclusion. And we've got to really understand that. Now, that doesn't give us a position of arrogance. As a matter of fact, with humility, we need to understand, wow, we need to share this with other people. Amen? And yet Jesus, as we read in the I am statements, certainly in the last few, the disciples were so concerned. One of them betrayed the Christ. They were worried. Jesus is talking about returning to the Father, and he used some words to comfort them. He says, listen, I'm going to prepare a room for you. If it were not so, I would tell you that that's not the case. And of course, it's not like he was going back into heaven and forming a construction company and building some houses. Rather, he was talking about himself being prepared and going ultimately to the cross so that through him we can go back ultimately into heaven. And then Jesus makes this incredible statement about him being the vine, we are the branches, and the Father is the gardener, the vine dresser, the one who's taking care of it all. And he makes a statement. He says, if you don't bear fruit, we've got to make sure that we are connected to the vine. He says, by yourself, you can bear no fruit. You've got to actually be connected to the vine. So we, as the branches, have got to be connected to the vine. And of course, the gardener, God, ultimately is the one that makes everything grow. And we talked about how the gardener, there's a knife involved. And that knife can be involved in two ways. One, it either prunes, which makes you even more fruitful, or God forbid, it cuts it off. And a lot of times, even in our lives, we may be in the pruning stage, that God may be pruning us so that what? We can become more fruitful. So, John, that's a really overview of what we have studied for the last 7 weeks. And if you weren't here, Shame on you. I'm sorry. Go and look at the sermons online. Amen. John chapter 15 in verse 9. Let's continue here.
Okay.
Jesus, of course, said that it is to my Father's glory that you bear fruit. We talked about what that was last week, right? And so let's continue in verse 9. It says this, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I want to talk a little bit about this idea of remain, okay? And what it entails and what is it that, how can we remain? Some version says abide, okay? In other words, how can we connect? Because there is a promise that is ridiculous in this. God says, if you remain in my vine, you can ask whatever you ask for in my name, it will be granted to you. What? I mean, there's some crazy things that are said in the book of John, and it's not just light reading, if you know what I'm saying. We got to really get involved in this. Now, we're going to have an idea here. We can see that it's not the idea of just asking for a new car or more hair. Benito, yes, I'm talking to you. or we're not talking for nicer clothes or a bigger house or a better job, because there's implicit in that statement that the connection is that you're remaining in Christ. And the fact is, when you're remaining in Christ, you actually have different goals and different dreams, that your prayer will be commensurate with the fact that you are remaining in him. We talked about how Jesus talked about the fact that because we are going to feed from him the bread of life, ultimately, that we are not going to hunger anymore. Not because we're going to get everything we want, but because our wants and desires have changed. We have been converted in our lives, and that which pleased us before no longer pleases us, but rather there are different goals in our lives. And the whole idea of getting whatever we ask for, provided we're properly connected to him, then our prayers will be appropriate in that sense. And so, but let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what it means to abide in Christ. And so we'll spend just a few moments. And depending how quickly you repent, that's how long I'll take. It's so funny. When we were studying the Bible with Michael and Chinwe, earlier this last month, well, it's already a new month, right? And we're studying the Bible, and they're dedicating themselves here to the family here in Ottawa. I said, do you have any questions? And Michael says, or was it Chinwe? Chinwe is more spiritual, so probably was her. She said, how come, or him, how come your services are so short? That gives me an idea. We need to lengthen our church services on Sundays. And here, do you love Jesus and everything? Okay. We're going to spend a few moments talking about this, because here's what Jesus says that it's incredibly important. He says, if you don't abide in me, if you don't bear fruit, you are going to be cut off. If we were to take Jesus at his words, that's a really serious statement. And we better understand what this means. What does it mean to abide in Christ? What does it mean to remain in Christ? Earlier in John chapter 14, we read that. Jesus says, if you love me, you would obey my commands. That's what he says. Let me be abundantly clear. There is no loving of Jesus without keeping his commands.
Yeah.
None. Let's not be fooled. He couldn't make a clearer statement in his word. There is none. And he talked about the fact, ultimately, that there could be a lot of posers. There can be a lot of professors of faith or possessors of faith. And he was helping them to understand because Judas just betrayed him. And these people are a little freaked out. Here's somebody who followed us all his life and was such a trusted person. He was the treasurer of our group. And he has now betrayed you. What is happening? Is this just all falling apart? You're leaving us and you're going to die. We thought you're going to come back and restore Israel and be in its proper place. And you will become clean king and we'll be all so happy about what's going on. And they're a little bit uneasy as to what's going on. He's leaving them. He's going to die. Somebody has just betrayed him. How are we going to reconcile these things? And so not only is he warning of them about what's happening, but he's helping them to understand the times. He is helping them to understand what's going on. And our time today, in North America especially, there is a Christianity that simply is about entertainment, that simply is about how can we just help people to be happy at church. We've talked about this before. If that's why you're coming here, you better look for another congregation. It's not our goal. We hope you are. Our goal is to preach Christ and Him crucified, and to commit ourselves to Jesus. And so he says, you got to remain in me. And the idea of us coming to be entertained, or for us to come simply to evaluate, while we need to do all those things, if that's the purpose for which we come, then I tell you, we're barking up the wrong tree. And so Jesus talks about this fact. He says, listen, there's a direct correlation, whether or not you love me, that you are going to. Doesn't mean that if we obey him, we can love him, because there's a lot of people like you, like me, that can be posers, that can be professors of the faith. And Judas, we know he was. They didn't even, couldn't tell that he was going to be the one betraying. Remember John chapter 13? They couldn't, hey, who's the one that's going to betray you? Some of them even asked, am I going to betray you? That he was so good at doing what he was doing. That he was such a prominent member of the 12. And so Jesus addresses that issue. And he says, you've got to remain in me. And there's fruit to that fact. The fact is, I don't know what's in any of your hearts. I don't. But Jesus says, certainly, by your fruit, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, I don't know. We can sit here, and you can wear the right clothes, and you can say, and I can. I can wear the right clothes, I can say the right things, I can comb my hair on the right side, with the right length, have enough facial hair, whatever that means, I don't know. But the point remains that you and I know that ultimately remaining in the vine and bearing fruit is the ultimate revealer of where we're at in our lives. And one of my goals is that on that great day, is that you're going to say to me, thank you for not mincing words. Thank you for not addressing my wounds as though it were not serious. Thank you for saying, peace, peace, there is no peace. Yet we got to understand this idea of what it means to remain in Him. Let's talk about that for a few moments. It is essential that we need to understand that abiding in Christ is receiving and trusting that all that God is for us is in Christ. Let me say that again. That receiving and trusting that all that God is for us is found in Jesus Christ. That's what he talked about in those seven I Am statements. And I mentioned this last week. If you can be fulfilled without Christ, then the question begs, have you truly been converted? If there's something that fills us and it's not Christ, we've got to ask ourselves some questions. I'm not pronouncing judgment. I'm here to present the word and you ultimately look in the mirror. And it says this, if a branch remains and abides and is attached to the vine in such a way that it is receiving all from that vine. What does that specifically mean? It means that receiving Christ into the soul, welcome him, trusting him, as if you were what? Drinking, eating, savoring him. That's what he said. I am the bread of life. He said, you drink from me, you will never go thirsty again. Believing is an attachment to Jesus and a receiving from Jesus. It is trusting in Jesus, remaining in fellowship with him, connecting to Jesus for us in him, flowing like a life-giving sap into our lives. Abiding is believing, trusting, resting, believing. That all that we get that is connected to divine. Merely, I believe in Jesus, but there's connotations as the other statements made. That's one of the things. Secondly, Jesus says, if you abide in me, my words will abide in you. There is a connection to the words of Christ that is very, very powerful. I am astonished. I am astonished and I'm a little embarrassed about myself. And I look back on some of the things that I've taught and how I've taught, I'm embarrassed how agenda motivated some of my sermons were. Not God's agenda, sometimes the church's agenda. And I'm astonished that how some disciples who were supposed to be connected to the word and understand the word, that any Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, John that says something on television or in a book, we're swayed by it. I mean, one of the most astonishing thing about Facebook, it reveals to me some so-called disciples say some things I'm saying. What? Have you ever read your Bible? Like, seriously? That we need to remain in his words. Some of this health and wealth gospel that is so prevalent. And Jesus says here, what does he say? Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You see, when we're connected to him, we understand what his words say and we're so connected, we are going to be in tune with what he's like. Come on, Tony. Sometimes some people ask me, Tony, pray that I get this job. Are you sure you want that job? Maybe we should pray it's God's will. Because let me tell you something. If you got a price for your soul, trust me, it will be offered. And not one time. Over and over and over again. Satan did it with the Christ. Not just one time. Not just that occasion in the desert. All the time. And if you can be bought, trust me, the price will be offered. And Jesus says, abiding in Him, it's about abiding in His words. Receiving, believing, trusting in the words of Jesus. About raising your children, about righteousness, about who to marry, about where to live. Trusting, what does the Word of God say? Well, I read this book and he's got $1 billion and he must be doing well. Or they drive a nice car, so they must be doing well. Really? Do you know that every $100 in Canada that we earn, we owe $176. Wow. Do you know we are the highest consumer debt ratio in all the developed world? Listen, not because somebody wears a nice dress. That doesn't mean they must be doing well. That's not how we judge things. Yeah, that's not the fruit by which we bear look at things. Yeah. Right? We got to understand that. So the second thing that we got to understand, abiding in Christ is about His words and understanding that. Third thing, abiding in Christ, it says, there's nothing spiritual, eternal, or of eternal significance is possible apart from abiding in the vine. Let me say that again. Nothing eternal of any spiritual significance we can achieve except it comes from the vine. I'll tell you. One of the things, one of the challenges that our fellowship went through, it exposed how lack of connection to the vine we were. Yeah, I'll tell you why. Who cares? I mean, really, who cares who is not faithful to God anymore? What does that have to do with you and your connection to the vine? Who cares if someone said something that hurt your feelings? What does that have to do with your connection to the vine? That's what Jesus was addressing. Listen, if Judas left, who? It doesn't matter. Yeah. Are you connected to the vine? God forbid that tomorrow I lose my ever-loving mind and leave the Lord. What does that have to do with your connection to the vine? Right. Nothing. Yep. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Hopefully I don't do that. And hopefully I'm set a good example. And hopefully everybody sets a good example. We know we impact people in our life. But ultimately, when we're so connected to the vine, we pray for them. We have compassion on them. We're not freaking out. You see, being connected, that we're not dealing with something that's marginal or optional. If we're not united to the vine so that Christ's life is flowing into us, then His words, His love, His joy will be utterly and totally barren. Wow. When we are not feeling that joy, well, it's not because somebody didn't sing the right song on Sunday. You better sing the right song on Sunday, Dwayne. It's not about, do you see what I'm talking about? There's a deeper sense that we all have a responsibility, but ultimately our connection to God is what matters. This vine and the branches that are so connected that it has lasting value.
Someone remind us.
That abiding proves whether the attachment to the vine is merely artificial or external merely by the fruit that we produce. You can't tell sometimes just by looking at it. But our love, our joy, our peace, our patience, our kindness, our goodness, our self-control, our faithfulness, our gentleness, our love. You read John 15 there? How many times in the book of John he says, love one another. John, in one of his letters, he said, listen, you cannot love God whom you've not seen and yet hate your brother. It's not possible.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of us try to defy scriptures. No, no, I love God. I just can't stand in the same room with him. I can't sit in this beside her. Go back and read John 4. 1 John 4, it says you can't do it. And he reminded them, because you know what? When you are going to be tested in your loyalty to one another, you're going to be tested in your love for one another. And that's why what he says continually, love one another. And if that's not the fruit of our life, I hope you're in a pruning season, or else there's serious ramifications of that. I'm not saying that we're all going to be best friends with each other. Some of us are more lovable than others. Some of us are less lovable than others. I love Owen. Yesterday when I was moving, my back was starting to hurt, and I forgot that my mind is writing checks that my body cannot cash, okay? And Owen said, man, Tony, you sit down. I mean, with all the love in his eyes and all the, you sit down, I'll take care of that for you. I appreciated that, brother. I really did, because my back was really tightening up. And he demanded, and he commanded, he says, don't you do it. Sit down, I'm going to take care of that for you. Man, yesterday I felt so loved. We had so much. We were done in one of the, we got the stuff out in half an hour. The other set, we had to go there, and because it took a little longer, because we had to pack a lot of stuff in that truck. And I am just amazed how the disciples rallied and loved. I mean, I appreciate that. Today marks 10 months that Melanie and I have been here. And I would rather be no other place on the face of the earth. I mean, I'm talking city, because I'm moving from where I am. So it's awesome. It's great. And to see people committing themselves to Christ and seeing the fruit. But even that, guys, ultimately, only you know if you're a professor or a possessor of faith. Only you know. I don't. And so we got to ask, we got to realize, abiding in him has to have fruit that comes with it. Has to. We talked about the fact that we're not James Bond Christians, right? Yeah. Secret agent Christians.
Yeah.
Undercover Christians. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. That's some serious, serious, serious words. Couple more, just real quick. Preening.
Okay.
Being cared for. Here's something that's pretty cool. So I want you to imagine this picture for me. That there is the vine, and that is attached to it, which we are, and Christ is the vine. And so the vine feeds us internally, right? There's a connection. It gives us energy. It gives us sap. It's all good. And so, and the more we're connected and remaining in the vine, and I'm describing what that means, right? The more we do that, the more productive and effective we are. So here's Christ's role. He feeds us internally. And God is what? The gardener. He now takes care of us provincially. And so there are things that happens in our life that he's pruning in us, maybe some health challenges, maybe some financial challenges, and there are things that's ultimately helping us. Why? So that we can become more fruitful. And so here's a connection here, that there's an internal connection that Christ has with us that feeds us, and there's the external connection that the Father is taking care of us by pruning us to help us. Why? Because he doesn't like us? No, to become even more fruitful, to become more productive, to live lives that reflect the love of Christ even more.
Amen.
I love that. I love that imagery. There's the internal feeding, and then there's the external taking care of what is going on. And lastly, abiding in Christ, goal of it is ultimately to the glory of God. That's what it says, right? This is to my Father's glory. This is to my Father's honor that you bear much fruit. Abiding in Christ, ultimately the result is that we can give glory and honor to our God in heaven. This is not about growing the Ottawa church. That's serendipitous to the fact that we are remaining in the vine. This is not about us singing great songs at church. That's a byproduct of the fact that we're connected to the vine. This is not about somehow artificially creating something that is not real. The idea is to remain connected in the vine. And so if you're connected in the vine, and if you're connected to the vine, man, my sermons will be that much shorter.
Don't lie, Tony, don't lie.
You're right, Harold. No, but the idea here, man, that's what it's all about. You know, Nick texted me last night at 12 o'clock. I said, don't you realize I'm sleeping at this time? Why are you bothering me at 12 o'clock at night? 11:57, Nick. It's right here. And Nick said, I love it. Nick said, I can't wait to see what God is going to do next year. I'm antsy about it. I said, not as antsy as I am. I mean, I know if we remain connected to Christ, it is sick what God is going to do in your life and in my life. I can't wait. I cannot wait to see this. We've outgrown this place. We can't. Honestly, when everybody, it's Labor Day weekend, and we have a lot of people still on vacation, those who are not connected to Christ. I'm sorry, that came out the wrong way. Now, people are on vacation, but when everybody's here, we're not going to be able to fit in there. We got to find a new place.
Amen.
But it's not why we're doing what we're doing. That's just a byproduct. That's just a byproduct of what is going to happen. We're almost at 100 disciples now in the Ottawa church. Next year we want to be at 200 disciples.
Yeah.
Why not? Let's remain in vine. Let's see what God is going to do. God says it's a pruning year. Okay. But our responsibility is to remain or abide in him. And so what a great honor, what a great amazing opportunity that we have to be fed internally from the Christ and to be pruned and taken care of providentially by the Father.
Amen.
That's what remaining in the vine about. And so the question I ask you this morning, that only you can answer, only you can, I can't. Are you a possessor of faith or a professor of faith? In the recesses of your heart where nobody goes, even sometimes you're scared to go, ask yourself that question. Maybe God's pruning you. Awesome. And to realize we have, as we have opportunity, do we need to get reconnected to the vine? And don't you dare mistake serving in the church, singing songs, setting up the equipment, whatever it is, as that means I'm remaining in the vine. It may mean, I don't know what it means. And so as Jesus was leaving this earth, we know it's really important. And so he brought this up. He says, hey, listen, guys, I just want you to understand the times. I want you to understand what's going on so that you're not freaking out with me when I die here in a few hours, okay? It's going to be okay. It's ultimately going to be okay. And so every Sunday we come together and we take the communion. It's not a ritual that we do. It is something that we then take a time of reflection to say, God, I thank you so much. I thank you so much that you died for me and for my sins. And it's a time of reflection. It's a time for us to think about where we are in our faith, not to make us feel guilty. It's for us to have some times of self-examination. I am appreciative of the institution of this sacrament. I really am. It allows us. I've done this for many years, over 1,600 times, actually over 1,800 times. Sometimes I take it because it's there. Sometimes I'm more reflective than others. Let be one of those times for you, that it's a time of reflection, that it's a time that we ask ourselves some real questions. Thank you for pretending to listen to me this morning. Yes, Landon, I'm talking to you. If we hold on to each other and we help each other, we can, as a family, keep us grafted in. Just got an email from a guy who used to be a part of our fellowship, and he said, Tony, do you have room to graft me into the fellowship again? He said, I'll be back in a few days. Let's get together and talk. I said, there's always room at the table, man. There's always room. If it were not so, I would have told you. But that's the kind of fruit that you guys are bearing. Your attraction to the gospel, what you're doing. And when they come and people see, wow, this is good. It is so good to be here. I loved getting together with Ron and a few days ago, and I tried to talk him out of becoming a Christian. I tried to talk him out of being baptized into Christ. I couldn't do it. Next morning, I texted him. I said, how does it feel to be forgiven of your sins? And he said, man, it feels awesome. There are many Morons in this city. Many more. Many more Yolande. Yolande comes. She sends us an email. She says, I want to get baptized. Out of nowhere. Literally out of nowhere. We said, Yolanda, you come here, we got to sit down and we got to study the Bible with you. It's a little bit more than that, but come on. She says, I'm going to come the first week, then if it's all right, we'll bring my family. Well, the first week she came and the next week she brings her family. Then her husband's going to get baptized when he comes back here in a few days. Just so awesome to see what God is doing, simply because of you. Let us continue to bear fruit, but the bearing of the fruit cannot be done without being connected to the vine. And what we're talking about, what Christ says very clearly, explicitly, apart from me, you can do nothing. And when we recognize that fact, we humbly, at times like this, we say, thank you, God, for allowing me to be attached to your Son in the vine. Let us pray and give thanks for that. God, we're just so grateful that your Son was the perfect example, and the Father, that we can draw our spiritual life for him. We can draw life. And Father, that at times when it's challenging, we're thankful that you are the ultimate pruner of our lives, be it by circumstance, be it directly, be it indirectly. Father, we trust you. We really, really entrust it, because we have nowhere else to go. as we take these emblems, that's reflecting your son's death for us, the body and the blood. I pray, O Father, that we are grateful. The Father, if there's time of reflection that brings about repentance, amen. If there's times of reflection that brings about a sense of confidence in you, not in us, then that too is awesome. Thank you for giving us your son. It's in his name that we pray. The great I am that came to the earth in your son to die for our sins. In Jesus' name we offer up this prayer. Amen.